Body to Body, written by Phantom Reviewer and read by Eos Rose. Please, Merlin, I've got to practice. I'll have a bout with Lancelot, and then we can go out for lunch or something, please. And so Merlin had given in and was now sitting in a draughty old hall watching grown men hit each other repeatedly with long, shiny sticks. No matter how much Arthur insisted that they were épées or sabers or foils or whatever, they were simply metallic sticks. Arthur had always had a knight in shining armor complex. Not that it couldn't be said that his fencing outfit fitted him. Merlin could swear that Arthur adapted it so that it clung to him far more than the other people's. His left arm was plastered with badges and the recordation of medals. Merlin had to admit that it made him look very handsome. It was something about all the white combination that set Merlin off. From shoes to helmet, he was just wearing white. And seriously, it shouldn't be possible for socks to be that tight on a person's calves. Socks, breeches, and jacket. Anyone else would have looked like a Burke dressed like that. Even Lancelot, who was standing opposite Arthur on the piste, didn't have the gentle elegance that Arthur exuberated. He was swinging his sword around with one gloved hand. Merlin had given him that glove. He might not care a lot for fencing, but he knew that it was important to Arthur, and so he did what he could. It had been a birthday present, that fencing glove. It was good quality, soft leather, with a red covering on the palm of the hand. Arthur had loved it, but when he'd slipped it on, he had felt something as he pulled it against his wrist. Merlin had embroidered a dragon, the symbol of the Camelot Fencing Club, on the inner sleeve, and when Arthur had seen it, he had beamed. And so, when Arthur looked at him before pulling on his helmet, Merlin smiled back. Arthur and Lancelot were standing at opposite ends of the piste. They were playing dry, and so had a small gaggle of people, students, who were acting as spotters and judge. Lancelot and Arthur saluted each other, drawing their swords, foils, they were playing with foils, to their helmets. After nodding to each other, Lancelot and Arthur turned to their judge, Morgana, and to the spotters, and then as Lancelot turned back to the piste, Arthur turned his head and offered a fencing salute to Merlin, who blushed and squirmed down further into the uncomfortable plastic chair. En garde! And suddenly all attention was on the piste, on Arthur and Lancelot, who were standing tensely, both ready to strike. Merlin reached behind him to loosen his scarf, and when he looked up, they were fighting. It wasn't the most impressive fight he'd attended. That had been the UK Championships, and Arthur had fought a man called Valiant. They'd been fighting with sabers, and sparks had flown both literally and metaphorically when it transpired that Valiant had rigged the scoring machines. But it couldn't be denied that seeing Arthur and Lancelot dance around each other, foils clashing loudly, did something to Merlin. He could hardly follow the speed at which the two men battled. The spotters appeared to constantly have their arms in the air, marking points. However, there seemed to be no stop to the action. Disengage! Lancelot's sword was trapped under Arthur's arm as he twisted to score an equalizing point. Without much enthusiasm, both Lancelot and Arthur disengaged and stepped to their starting positions. And then they were off again. Merlin was fascinated and confused as to how it was physically possible for the pair of them to stay upright as they moved at such speed around each other. Arthur moved quickly, his body seemingly overtaking his legs, and Merlin was sure that he would fall. And he did, but catching himself into a lunge, he was able to score the point. With barely a cease in the action, they were fighting again, with Lancelot moving lightly, jumping at some stages. "Balestra," came a voice from behind his shoulder, Lance's favorite move. It was Gwen, his best friend and Lancelot's girlfriend. In fact, it had been because of Lancelot and Gwen that he had met Arthur at all. He'd said that he'd go and watch Lancelot in the Kent Championships and had taken Gwen with him. Gwen had spent the whole match singing the praises for the man with the waving black hair and had grinned brightly when Merlin had introduced her to him. And Lancelot, in turn, had introduced the two of them to the only man who can beat me in a bout and the new Kent champion. And around had turned Arthur, cocky grin on his face, and had extended his hand out to Merlin to shake. "You must be Merlin. Lance has been telling me about you." And Merlin had felt the tips of his ears go red. Gwen had giggled. And so it had started. Gwen pulled up a chair next to him. "You here for Arthur?" Merlin nodded. The fighting continued. "He said that we'd be going out to lunch or something, and that it was more worth my while to come and watch him than go straight there. Wherever there is. You?" Gwen smiled and flattened her skirt. "Lance is playing all day. I said I'd bring lunch." And looking under her chair, there was, in fact, a Tesco plastic bag with the outline of a couple of bottles and some sandwiches. "Nice. Tell me about it." They shared a grin and then turned to face the beast again. The two fencers were so close to each other that if they weren't wearing helmets, then they would have been mistaken for kissing. Their swords were connected at the hilt, and they were connected from the chest down. "Kor-a-kor!" Morgana shouted, breaking her self-restraint and physically dragging the two boys away from each other. "That's enough, the pair of you. Go and work off your testosterone and come back when you are prepared to fight like gentlemen, not animals." Merlin and Gwen laughed as they could see the two men blushing beneath their helmets. After quickly saluting Morgana and the spotters, they quickly ridded themselves of their helmets, gloves, jackets, and plastrons, and stuffed them into their bags. Lancelot also slipped out of the room, to the changing rooms, to slip into his own personal clothes. Arthur, who had no such modesty, pulled off his shirt in full view of the entire room, not that Merlin was complaining, and used it to wipe the sweat off his brow before stowing that into his bag as well. He pulled on a red t-shirt, leaving his breeches and socks on, affirming to Merlin that Arthur knew just what the white did to him. He swung his fencing bag over his shoulder and approached Merlin. "Heya!" Merlin smiled in reply. Arthur could still make him feel embarrassed and shy, even after 2 years. Arthur just ruffled his hair and smiled. "Get off!" Gwen giggled again, traitorously. Arthur dropped his hand from Merlin's hair and let it drop down his body until he reached Merlin's hand. Their fingers interlinked, and Arthur pulled him bodily up. Merlin smiled and snuck his hand around Arthur's waist, letting it rest on his hip. "Hey," Gwen said, "Kor-a-kor!" Merlin turned his head and stuck his tongue out at her. The end. Change of Engagement. Written by Phantom Reviewer and read by Eos Rose. Merlin got the phone call at 10:16 in the morning. The shock of the ringing made him drop his teacup and it smashed over the floor and the hot liquid sank into his slippers. Bugger it! He was torn for a second between picking up the phone and collecting the shards of broken china. He bent down, the ringing still in his ears, and gathered the china into his hands. He cut his palms and the finger pads, hissing slightly as he walked over to the bin, unable to open it as both hands were full and bleeding. After a moment's hesitation, he bent his knees and lifted the lid of the bin with his elbow. He'd told Arthur that they needed a pedal bin. The ringing had stopped. Merlin sighed and then winced as the cold air met his bloody hands. He wandered over to the kitchen sink, kicking off his slippers and attempting to tow off his wet socks, until he gave in and twisted the hot water tap, leaving bloody marks over the handle. Blissfully warm water ran over his cuts, leaving his hand and a zigzag of pale pink cuts. He wiped his hands on the novelty dishcloth that had been left by the side of the sink. And then he knelt and removed his socks, walking barefoot in the kitchen dining space. It was only a small flat, after all, and Merlin could remember where Arthur had left his slippers that morning. He slipped into them. They were just about the right size. His hands ached. Why? Oh, yes, the phone. Merlin walked over to the phone and picked it up. One missed call. Well, obviously. Merlin rolled his eyes and then saw what the number that had called was. Camelot Fencing Club. Maybe Arthur wouldn't be coming home after training. Why he didn't ring his mobile, Merlin didn't know. But Arthur could be like that. He pressed redial. Merlin. It wasn't Arthur on the other end of the phone. Merlin racked his brains for the name to associate with the voice. Hello? Merlin? Yes, it's me, Merlin. The voice at the other end of the line made a sound between a gasp and a sigh. Ewan, what's happened? At least he hoped it was Ewan. And then he heard a noise, faintly in the backdrop of the phone call. It sounded like a siren. Seriously, Ewan, what happened? Well, Merlin, what happened was... Tell me now, Ewan. I'm getting worried. Merlin was pacing up and down the small hallway, biting his lip. Arthur never complained when he was injured. Arthur never got injured. Kanan, a new fighter, just joined. Challenged Arthur. And? Please, Ewan. He didn't button his foil, and I don't know if it was done on purpose or anything, but the tip was pointed, and he hit Arthur. Merlin almost dropped the phone. What? Oh my God, is he all right? Where is he? The blade went straight through his hand, Merlin, severed the tendons. What hospital is he at? He's not gone yet. The medics are here. They'll be taking him in about 10 minutes. Do you want me to come and pick you up? Merlin thought it through. The club was about a 20-minute walk away, at a push, and there was clearly traffic. Merlin could see that through the curtainless window. No, I'll be there. If you're sure, Merlin, he's in a lot of pain. I'll be there. Give me 10 minutes. Merlin grabbed his neck scarf from the back of the nearest chair. Arthur had thrown it there the night before, and had put the phone down and slammed the door. They rented a smallish flat on the 5th floor of the Aelder block. The lifts were always out of order, and so Merlin ran the stairs, his anxiety causing him to regain some of his balance. He was never one for running, but now he was speeding as fast as he could to the club base. It would be a 20-minute walk, but Merlin didn't care about the people he bumped into, shouting apologies over his shoulder. Belatedly, he realized that he could have taken his bike. 7 minutes after the phone call, he staggered to a halt outside the club entrance. The ambulance was there. He turned and looked into the back of it. It was empty. They must be inside. Heart thumping in his throat, Merlin stepped inside the building. There was no one in the hallway, either. So he carried on, getting more and more nervous until he reached the main hall. And then there were people, and noise everywhere. Merlin's eyes were just catching up with his ears, and he could see Kanan being flanked by Owen and Pelennor, both who looked like they were about to spit fire. Kanan was looking ashamed. And then Merlin turned to see Arthur. Thuin was standing with him, and there were two medics next to him. There was a bloody sword on the floor, and the tip did look incredibly sharp. Arthur wasn't looking at him. His head was bowed and his teeth were gritted. Ewan, however, did look up and saw Merlin, double-took slightly at the speed of his arrival, and then beckoned him over. Arthur didn't notice when Ewan left and Merlin replaced him at his shoulder. "I can't leave you for a moment, can I?" Arthur looked up at that and smiled as Merlin placed his hand on Arthur's shoulder. The medics looked at him for a moment and then carried on injecting something into Arthur's hand. Merlin couldn't look for too long at the wound. He was sure that the sword had gone all the way through. Arthur reached up with his good hand and placed it above Merlin's on his shoulder. "What are you doing here?" Merlin shrugged. "Ewan rang me. I had to come. Couldn't just leave you." Arthur smiled at that and then lifted Merlin's hand off his shoulder and looked at it. "What have you done to your hand? It's covered in cuts." Merlin chuckled. "You can talk. Look what you've done to yourself." It was Arthur's turn to shrug. "It comes with the job for me. You, on the other hand." Arthur lifted Merlin's hand to his mouth, brushing his lips over the mars of his skin. Merlin leaned into the seated Arthur and rubbed his hand into Arthur's hair. It was sweat-soaked, and Arthur groaned when he scraped his scalp. Merlin dropped his hand. He didn't need the medics to look suspiciously at him, let alone the self-appointed knights. They all knew, but it was still awkward. "What did you do to yourself now, eh?" Arthur shrugged and gently dropped Merlin's hand from his mouth. "Now, Mr. Pendragon, into the ambulance with you, please." His left hand was now bandaged, hidden from view under the stark white wrapping. It looked painful. "You're going to have to come to the hospital with us. No more fencing for you." Arthur groaned. Merlin knew why. The Southeast Championships were happening in 2 months' time, and Arthur would be out of the running. And suddenly, Merlin understood, because Kanan could play. The bastard! Kanan, he'd planned this. His hand clenched into a fist, and he turned to face Kanan with anger in his eyes. Kanan only kept his gaze for moments before looking down. Arthur stood up, assisted by the medics. "I'm fine. It's my hand, not my leg, you know." Merlin's gaze softened and he turned to Arthur. "Quit being a prat. They're doing their best." Arthur's frown evened out as well. He still allowed himself to lean on Merlin's arm for support. Not that he needed it. Once they were at the ambulance, the male medic stepped into the back of the ambulance and bodily dragged Arthur into the ambulance. Merlin got a good view of Arthur's backside before he reminded himself to focus. The female medic, Amanda, possibly, unlocked the cockpit of the ambulance, pulling off her medical bag. The man looked to Merlin, who was still standing on the pavement. "I'm afraid it's family only from now on, sir." Merlin sighed and bit his lip, looking down at the pavement. Arthur, on the other hand, looked affronted and glared at the male medic. "Actually, he's my partner, so he'll be coming with me." Merlin had never felt as proud of Arthur as he did in that moment, although he was sure that when Arthur won the Olympic gold, as he was sure to, he would be, and beamed at him. Arthur extended his good hand to Merlin and helped to drag him into the ambulance. The medic looked put out and said nothing. The two of them sat down on the bed in the back of the ambulance, leaning against the wall and listening to the siren. They leaned against each other, with Arthur cradling his injured hand within the crook of his other arm. Merlin? He felt Arthur's hair tickle his cheek from the angle he was resting. He hummed in assent. Are you wearing my slippers? Merlin opened his eyes, and yes, he was. Yeah, and? Arthur smiled at him affectionately. You idiot. Love you too. The end. Foible. Written by Phantom Reviewer and read by Eos Rose. Arthur, we are not going. That's final. Arthur rolled his eyes and made a disparaging noise through his lips. Who do you think you are, my bloody father? Merlin gave him a gentle shove so that Arthur fell down onto the sofa. I'm your bloody boyfriend, and I do know best for you. Sit. Arthur frowned and gestured at his parked behind on the cushions of their sofa. Merlin threw himself down onto the sofa as well, bouncing slightly. Arthur held out his right hand to still him. His left was wrapped in bandages and didn't move. Merlin grabbed hold of the proffered hand and used it to drag himself up into a sitting position. After sitting there for a while, Arthur gave him a shove as Merlin's bony legs were making his own get pins and needles. Merlin all but slid off Arthur's lap and knelt down at the side of the sofa, meaning to help Arthur remove his trainers. He dragged Arthur's leg closer and started to attack the laces. Flipping hell, Arthur. How tight do you tie these things? Arthur scowled and dragged his leg out of Merlin's lap. I'm not an invalid, Merlin. Stop treating me like such. Merlin sighed and looked up at Arthur, hands resting on Arthur's knees. No, you're not an invalid. But you are injured, and you need someone to take care of you. Could you take off your own shoes? Arthur frowned, but moved his foot back towards Merlin. Thank you. Merlin deftly attempted to unpick the laces. Actually, how did you tie the things to begin with? You've only got the one working hand. Arthur shrugged. I'm talented. I know. After getting one shoe off and throwing it across the room, Merlin turned his face up to Arthur again. I know that you wanted to go, and I know that that bastard Kanan will be able to fight and you won't, but that doesn't mean you get to torture yourself by watching Lance and Pelennor and everyone else fighting while you're sitting up with me and Gwen in the stalls. You'd have gone mad. Arthur gritted his teeth and nodded sharply. Merlin sighed and attacked the other trainer. That one came free with more ease than its twin and soon joined it on the other side of the room. Merlin perched on his hands, waiting for Arthur to make some signal to him. They waited in an uncomfortable silence until Arthur patted the sofa to his right. Merlin snaked up until he was sitting next to Arthur. I'm sorry, Arthur. All of the passionate energy from their earlier argument had mellowed. I don't, Merlin. I know. I'm in the wrong. Merlin sighed again and rubbed Arthur's shoulder, reassuring him. I didn't say that, Arthur. You're twisting my words. They're right, though. And again there was silence. Arthur looked at his watch. Half an hour until it starts. Merlin glared at him, and then reached down to his wrist, caressing the palm of Arthur's hand for a moment before tracing the clasp of the watch with a finger and unhooking it, dropping it into Merlin's waiting palm. You're not to do that either, Arthur. Arthur groaned slightly and knocked his head back, allowing his neck to rest against the back of it. I'd have won this fight, but it's not about that. Camelot's been shunted as a club in these competitions. They think that because we fence for fun and do competitions because we're good, we're better than them, but... And if I'd been fighting, then Owen would have gone as well. He's a good fencer, just a little nervous. It would have been... Merlin stroked his shoulder again, raising his hand up to caress between his shoulder and his neck. I do understand, Arthur. It's not the same, but there was that time I missed the opening night at the quarters because of that ruddy broken arm. So I understand how you feel. Arthur moved and wrapped his right arm around Merlin's shoulders, pulling him in against his body. Merlin, in turn, took Arthur's injured hands within his own, cradling them softly against his skin, the bandages scratching his hands. He kept hold anyway. Sorry for snapping earlier, Merlin. Merlin patted Arthur's hand lightly, but he still flinched. Oops. No matter. Seriously, I was expecting worse than that from you. Gwen was expecting me to have two black eyes and another broken arm before you'd relent and stay home. Arthur grinned half-heartedly. In your dreams, Emrys, I'd have so knocked you out. Merlin rolled his eyes. Oh yeah, I appear to be a little too awake, don't I? Arthur leant forward as if he was going to retaliate, but leaned back, dejected. Cheer up, my prince. Arthur smiled at that. Most normal couples had affectionate nicknames like Darling and Sweetie, but not them. Arthur was Merlin's prince, and Merlin was simply Arthur's. In a mirror to their normal actions, Arthur seemed to shrink down into the sofa and allowed Merlin to run his hands through his hair, smoothing it rather than bunching it up. Arthur had messed it up in his anger, leaving it looking like a gel-happy teenager had attacked his hair. Arthur keened under his actions and opened his eyes slowly. He hadn't even realized that they had closed. Are you checking me for nits or something? Something, Merlin replied offhand. Arthur shrugged again and moved his head so that Merlin's hand dropped from his head to the nape of his neck. He smoothed the skin there, playing with the tufts of hair. You okay now? Arthur shrugged and pulled Merlin closer, tucking Merlin's head underneath his chin, gaining support that way. Merlin reached and took hold of Arthur's bandaged hand again. You'll be up and about again before you know it. Arthur smiled and nipped Merlin's side. Merlin jumped, and Arthur felt the reverberations of the laughter through Merlin's jaw and into his chest. Not until you find my flipping shoes, I won't. Merlin shrugged against Arthur's chest and stroked the bandages of his left hand again. They sat in peace for the next couple of hours, entirely missing the matches. And Owain won the championship. The end. Trompement. Written by Phantom Reviewer and read by Eos Rose. Merlin could always feel when the tips of his ears went red. It made his neck burn, and he could feel each strand of ruffled black hair that was touching his ears and the back of his neck. He could have counted every single hair on his head the moment that Arthur spoke to him. The worst thing was, he didn't even know why. He could hear Gwen giggling at him and flushed even more. Arthur dropped his hand. And you are? He turned to Gwen, who blushed daintily. How come she got to look so beautiful and feminine and he looked like an imbecile? I'm Gwen, Merlin's friend. She giggled again. Merlin made a mental note not to bring her to any more matches. She'd giggled more times in the last hour than she had in all the time Merlin had known her, which was from about the age of 16. And they were still talking, Arthur, Gwen, and Lancelot, as if they were all friends, all knew each other. Merlin felt awkward. Until Gwen laughed, shoved him in the shoulder, and impersonated Merlin's highly exaggerated gasps and whoops at the points Lancelot had scored, and the booing that had ensued when the opponent, Arthur, had made a point. No, Merlin didn't feel awkward after that. He just wanted the ground to open up and swallow him. It didn't, and Arthur kept looking at him. Somehow the four of them managed to migrate into the changing rooms. There weren't many people left in there by this stage. Most of them had packed up after the medals were awarded and headed straight to the pub. After party. Gwen, who hadn't noticed the location, blushed a vivid scarlet and held her hands up to her face, her eyes peeking out of the fingers. Merlin had seen Lancelot in various stages of dress on many occasions and was quite prepared to see his friend shirtless. Lancelot, however, was either oddly shy in the presence of Gwen and Arthur, or was being a gentleman for Gwen's sake, and after removing his jacket and plasteron, he stuffed them into his kit bag and locked himself in the shower cubicle. Gwen tucked her head downwards for a moment and then looked around the room, aiming for anywhere but Merlin and Arthur. Do you know ladies' toilets? Arthur looked up, somehow still managing to look serious and intense, even when he was dressed like a complete and utter prat. A handsome one, though, and only wearing the jacket, ties flapping in an unseen wind. Merlin had never liked the look of a fencing outfit. It squashed people into them like sausages, all white and lumpy and with stupid socks. Out the door, second to the left, you can't miss it. Gwen smiled at him. Thanks. Stupid socks that were stupidly fitted to Arthur's calves, accentuating the man's ridiculously defined muscles. Arthur had no such qualms as Lancelot, it seemed, and ripped off his t-shirt over his head. Merlin's eyes crept up from Arthur's legs up to his chest. Arthur, it seemed, could pull off the fencing outfit. Literally. It seemed. Trainers had been towed off with ease, and Arthur was left standing there in socks and breeches. And flipping hell, he was peeling his socks off, actually peeling them off, revealing more and more of his tanned legs. Merlin swallowed, loudly. Arthur looked up and saw Merlin staring at him. Enjoying the view? And if Merlin had been a man of more conviction, he would have ran out of the room. As it was, he looked down and blushed, closing his eyes and hoping that this time the ground would comply with his need to disappear. Quickly. Again, it didn't. Well, Merlin, I think that... But fate had seen fit to intervene at that point, and Lance burst back into the room. Dressed in jeans and an Albion Fencing Club t-shirt, he was smiling and had clearly spent a fair few minutes ruffling his hair and listening to the conversation. Merlin found his opportunity for escape and almost tripped over his feet in his urge to get to the door. I'll go and get Gwen. I mean, find her. Wait for her even. Not go in the girls' toilets or anything. I'm not... The door swung on his face, and Merlin had never been more relieved to get a noseache. Right or the left? Merlin couldn't remember much of what Arthur had been saying. Third on the left, second on the right? Luckily, Gwen turned and popped up next to him at that moment. Hey, Merlin, are we ready to go? She was so annoyingly chirpy, and it looked like she'd done something to her eyelashes. Merlin just shrugged. What's up? Nothing. Merlin felt a little affronted. Was he that obvious to read? Gwen had a twinkle in her eye at that. She raised her eyebrows in an attempt to insinuate something. What, Gwen? And Merlin felt the blush creep up the inside of his neck. Well, Arthur's rather handsome, isn't he? And he's been looking at you. What? Merlin felt the blush reach his ears again. Gwen just giggled at him again. It really was an annoying habit, and pushed open the door. A snippet of conversation drifted through the door. Lynn, shut up, Lance. But you do. Maybe. What about you? What about me? Cologne Lance, and Merlin and Gwen stepped into the changing room. The two fencers turned to their visitors, and Merlin could detect on each of the men's faces a hint of embarrassment. Arthur was, thankfully, fully dressed now, wearing a similar t-shirt as that to Lance's. However, his was the image of a dragon rather than a griffin. He was also wearing jeans, but his were tight-fitted and faded at the knees. He had slung a brown leather jacket over his shoulder. Gwen elbowed Merlin in the chest. He was staring again. "We all set to go?" Merlin nodded, blushing. "Yep." That was Gwen, who slipped her arm into the crook of Merlin's elbow. She spun the pair of them around. Merlin heard the men behind them sling their fencing bags over their shoulders, the jiggling of steel against steel. Merlin and Gwen were perfectly capable of reaching the main exit to the hall. However, they couldn't get further. The street lights were just turning on, and the shadows were flickering between the pavement and the road. Lancelot and Arthur flanked Merlin and Gwen, the four of them walking in a varying formation until they reached a lamppost. Lancelot and Gwen were walking a few steps ahead of Merlin and Arthur, and were in deep conversation. Merlin tried to avoid catching Arthur's eye or being caught watching him, and thus he listened intently to Lancelot's and Gwen's conversation. "Will you be attending the after-party with us? It's nothing too rash, I promise you. Just a few drinks." Gwen blushed. Merlin could see that even in the faint light. "I'd love to. Thanks." Arthur coughed, and Merlin had to look at him. His hair looked golden in the soft light. Merlin groaned. Arthur raised his eyebrows and turned away. "No, not you. Just the cold?" Merlin's ears burnt. "I was wondering if you'd be coming with us to the party. It appears that Lance has already got himself a date." Merlin smiled softly. Gwen had had a bit of bad luck when it came to relationships, and she seemed to share some mutual interests with Lancelot. "Wait, did you say date?" He was sure that the pitch of his voice had raised then. It was Arthur's turn to shrug, but at least he did it looking suave. Merlin shivered. He hadn't been lying about the cold. "I was planning on going straight home." Arthur sighed, and Merlin felt guilty. "It was just an idea, Merlin." He felt even guiltier, and shivered again. "Are you cold?" Merlin shook his head, feeling goosebumps creep up his exposed arms. They fell into an uncomfortable silence, and the only noise was the occasional car and the easy chatter of Gwen and Lancelot. Merlin didn't know what bus to get. Lance had told him not to bring his bike because it would be stolen, so he'd had to get the train. Merlin hated trains, and yet he and Gwen had got a one-way ticket. He was unable to afford a return. Shit. And something warm settled on his shoulders. Something that smelt of Arthur, even though, after only knowing the man for 2 hours, he shouldn't know what the man smelt like. Like nature and earth and the wind and sweat and musk. "Arthur." "You were cold," Arthur explained. Merlin stuck his arms through the sleeves of the jacket. It was slightly too small, which was a bit of a shock. He had assumed that Arthur was taller than him. "How long does this after-party go on for?" Arthur beamed. He'd deny it later, but Merlin saw that smile. It was a beautiful smile. Arthur slung an arm over Merlin's shoulder, fencing bag clunking against Merlin's own back, and Merlin beamed back. The end. Chinese Food in Elder Block. Written by Phantom Reviewer and read by Eos Rose. Arthur arrived outside Merlin's flat at 7 in the evening with handfuls of Chinese takeaway. Merlin wasn't in. And so, when Merlin, 45 minutes later, staggered up to his house, he was greeted with the sight of Arthur Pendragon sitting in the stairwell of his apartment, fingers sticky from Chinese food. Hello? It had been about 4 days since the fencing tournament, and the events that had followed the after-party. Arthur had driven him back home afterwards. Neither of them had spoken, and so finding Arthur Pendragon eating Chinese on the stairs was quite a shock. "I hope you like rice." Merlin sat down next to him. He had to be hallucinating. The spotlight might have been too bright, damaged his retina. Gaius had told him not to look too closely at it. He nodded. Arthur handed him a chicken wing. "I wanted to apologize." "What?" Merlin was stunned. First Arthur arrived, then Arthur offered him chicken, and then Arthur apologized. For some unknown thing. "What for, exactly?" Arthur sighed. "I acted completely inappropriately the other night, and I wanted, if we could still be friends?" Merlin rolled his eyes and bit into his chicken, juices staining his chin and scarf. "I seem to remember it wasn't exactly all you're doing now, was it?" Arthur actually blushed at that. "Do you want to come in?" Merlin was surprised at how forward he was. "No, well, I would love to, but I'm, well..." Merlin thought that he could continue with his newfound forwardness and pushed his lips into Arthur's, silencing him with a kiss. The end. Pays de Fer. Written by Phantom Reviewer and read by Eos Rose.
Who's the twerp with the ears?
Arthur was reaching out to grab the shampoo from the shelf where he'd dumped his wash bag when he overheard that smidgen of conversation. He leant backwards, hair suddenly forgotten, and turned the water down so he could hear the words without the patter of cold water. Cold water was good for the hair, after all. There was only one person that Arthur knew that was A, a twerp, and B, had ears of notable magnitude. But he was the only one allowed to comment on both points, after all. He strained his perfectly normal-sized ears, attempting to hear the reply to the question.
"Melvin, I think."
Arthur rolled his eyes. Seriously, it wasn't like it wasn't a unique name at all. Shouldn't be that hard to remember. Merlin and Arthur. Couldn't have been any worse if his flipping saber was called Excalibur. Actually, that wasn't a bad idea. He's a git. What's he doing hanging around here? Arthur's smile fell and his teeth clenched. It was true he hadn't introduced Merlin to anyone or anything, but still, the Camelot Knights were meant to be chivalrous? If that wasn't taking the whole metaphor a bit far. He'd been the only one who had gotten through to the Kent Championships from Camelot, and so he'd been the only one there who'd attended the after-party. So no one else knew about Merlin or about what had happened after the after-party. He's like Arthur's personal groupie, always hanging around and then leaving after him. Think Arthur knows he's got a creepy stalker? And that was hardly fair. Arthur, having seen the location of Merlin's home, a tiny hovel of an 8th-floor flat in the Alder block, and its relative closeness to the Camelot Salle, a 20-minute walk at most, had meant that after the incident with the Chinese food, which had led to them being sticky in more ways than just with sweet and sour sauce, Arthur had invited him to come and watch him play, and Merlin had agreed. Arthur knew that Merlin had a thing for his kit. So over the last 2 months,
Merlin had dropped into practices about 5 times. On a handful of those occasions, Arthur had made it known to Merlin that Lance would be bouting with Camelot and had brought Gwen along. But for 2 of the occasions, Merlin had been totally alone. Arthur, not because he was embarrassed about Merlin or anything like that, hadn't felt the need to advertise the fact that his boyfriend was visiting him, and thus Merlin had been grouped in with the theme of stalker, which wasn't fair. "It's worse than a bloody stalker. Have you seen how he's been looking at Arthur? Almost ogling him. All at his... It's disgusting." It was the same voice that had spoken initially, and Arthur thought that he could recognize it as... Pellinore? No, it wasn't Pellinore. Bloody poof. Tristan. Arthur felt the water running cold down his back. It didn't feel refreshing anymore, more like something trying to peter out his ire. Well, that was Owain. It had to be. Owain was a good kid. He'd joined the Knights during senior school and had stuck with it through all of uni, traveling down from Oxford once a month, and was now one of the strongest fighters they had. After all, he'd put up with Arthur treating him as a dog's body. Arthur then heard Tristan spit. If he'd been fully kitted up instead of as naked as the day he was born, he'd have dueled Tristan and hit him where it hurt. As it was, Arthur was content to turn the water off and grab his towel with ferocity, angrily rubbing it through his hair and scowling as he heard Tristan badmouth Merlin to Owain. Reaching back into the shower cubicle, he pulled out his wash bag. He felt goosebumps creep up his arms and back. Drying himself off roughly, he pulled on his Camelot t-shirt and a pair of jeans. Admittedly, they were Merlin's, but then his were somewhere in Merlin's hovel of a flat, which he then had to bend down and turn up. They were a little tighter around the waist than Arthur was used to, but that was just more evidence that Merlin was a rake and needed to eat more. However, just as he ran a hand through his hair, admittedly he was pulling his hair rather than gelling it, as a sign of anxiety, he heard the slamming of a door, and upon opening the shower cubicle, the room was equivocally empty. Arthur sighed and pulled up his kit bag and slung it over his shoulder. He was in the main sally. Tristan was standing with his back to Merlin, who, it had to be said, was looking very uncomfortable. He still gave Arthur an ear-to-ear, stupidly abnormal, large grin. Tristan scowled. Merlin normally followed Arthur out of the hall and waited, sitting at the nearby bus stop until Arthur was ready to leave. It was Merlin who had instigated the system, and to begin with, Arthur was offended, but considering Tristan's actions, he now understood. Maybe Merlin had had situations in the past where people weren't that accepting. Arthur felt angry. Again. He walked straight over to Merlin, who was standing awkwardly by the fire exit. Coming? Merlin smiled rather stiffly at him, and although he appeared to be watching Arthur, his eyes were pointed over his shoulder, and Arthur knew that he was looking at Tristan, who would be looking right back. Arthur distinctly did not look back as he ushered Merlin out, almost but not quite touching him. Knowing that leaving without speaking to anyone would cause commotion, but at that moment all that mattered to Arthur was getting out of there and spending as much time with Merlin as he could. Merlin looked flustered. Arthur hesitated for only a moment before wrapping his arms around Merlin's shoulder. Merlin smiled and leant his head into Arthur's neck. Arthur smiled back, and, anger having left him as suddenly as it arrived, leant down to whisper in his ear. Shuddery breaths in Merlin's ear as he built up the courage to say what he wanted. There was a cough from behind them. Arthur spun around, anger back in his eyes. It was Tristan, looking a mixture between sickened and appalled. Arthur pulled up his lip in a silent snarl. Tristan had the gall to look amused. The steel in the corresponding bags clicked as if they were fighting already. "Excuse me, do you have a problem with me?" Merlin shied backwards, but Arthur held him firm. "No, Arthur, not you. Then it's Merlin." Tristan snorted. Arthur just raised his eyebrows. "It's just, well, you can hardly actually be doing anything." "And why not?" Merlin shrank away from Tristan's glare, as if he had corrupted Arthur. "Because it's wrong." And then Arthur punched him. His fist was bloody with Tristan's blood, the same blood that was running down Tristan's face from his nose. Tristan spat again. This time it contained blood. Looking down at Tristan, whose own hands were clasped to his bleeding nose, "Don't you ever talk like that about my boyfriend again." Beneath the blood, Tristan paled, and in contrast, Merlin flushed and grabbed Arthur around the middle, like a girl. Arthur wiped his bloody hand on the back of his Camelot shirt and then wrapped his arms around Merlin's shoulders. He contemplated picking him up for a moment, but in the end he smiled and nibbled Merlin's ears. "I love your ears," Merlin giggled. His ears, Arthur knew, were sensitive. "I know." "I love you more, though." Merlin beamed against Arthur's neck, reaching his arm up into Arthur's still wet hair and pulled his head down until their lips touched. They kissed, one of Arthur's hands winding into Merlin's hair and the other wrapped around his waist. Neither of them noticed the rest of the Camelot Fencing Club watching them from the entrance of the salle. The end. Absence of Blade, written by Phantom Reviewer and read by Eos Rose. "Look, are you going or aren't you?" Arthur had the gall to stand with a mug of coffee warming his hands as Merlin flustered around their shared flat looking for his script and his black stage crew hoodie. "It'd be a darn sight easier if you'd stop being so smug and helped me." Arthur just sighed loudly and took another sip of coffee. "I'm just so busy, Merlin." Merlin hit him in the face with his newly found script. "You've got about 15 minutes till the performance starts. What time are you supposed to be there?" Merlin was darting in and out of the rooms in their flat. "Shut up." His stage crew hoodie was thrown over the back of the computer table, and Merlin grabbed it, and then flailed to catch the rapidly falling computer, which he did, with great skill, if he did say so himself, and placed it back on the desk, dusting it with the edge of his hoodie. Crap, he only had 10 minutes to get to the quarters. "Arthur, couldn't you give me a lift?" Arthur took another swig of his coffee. "Well, the thing is, Merlin..." Merlin blew a raspberry at him and attempted to pull on his hoodie. However, in his stress, he ended up getting caught up with the neck and armholes. Arthur sighed again, and then put down his now empty mug. Yes, on the floor, but what of it? And reached up to help Merlin into his hoodie. "Thank you." Arthur smirked and kissed Merlin on the cheek. "Off you go, then. Don't want to miss your big performance, do you?" It was Merlin's turn to roll his eyes. "I'm the assistant to the lighting desk. Nothing that special." Arthur stretched up, and after yawning, he rubbed his hand through Merlin's hair. "Get off." Merlin always felt like a dog when Arthur petted him. It made him feel a little uncomfortable. Not that it wasn't nice or anything. Just a little too... domestic. Not like the house wasn't domestic at all. Maybe they could get a dog. Or a cat. Merlin had always liked cats. Arthur brought him back to the present by dropping his hand from Merlin's hair and touching his face lightly. "Oh, I know that you're lying, Merlin. Gaius isn't there today. You're in complete control of backstage. Merlin reached down and grabbed his script from where it had fallen. Now you're exaggerating. Arthur smiled affectionately. Go on, off you go. I'll meet you afterwards, okay? Merlin smiled back at Arthur, reached up with his free hand, and cupped Arthur's cheek. He gave his ear-to-ear beam, and then Arthur turned away, listening to the opening of the front door as he bent to reach his empty mug. Merlin was almost out of the front door when he turned back to Arthur, just for a moment. He could easily run the way to the quarters in 5 minutes. Okay, it'd be pushing it a little, but who would be there to tell him off? Other than Morgana. Okay, it was a really bad plan, but it was the only one that he had. And then he felt something around his ankles, something heavy, and there was a cracking noise, and Arthur turned back around. It could have been comical. Merlin's feet were caught up in Arthur's fencing bag, which was resting against the wall by the door. His script was scattered around him as if in snow. And it would have been comical if only Merlin wasn't moaning in pain. Arthur jumped past the step that Merlin was half lying on. He was partly inside the flat and partly outside of it. Merlin? Merlin, are you all right? Merlin manages to let out a small smile. I don't think I'll be going to the theater. Arthur rolled his eyes. Typical you, missing your big debut because you're a clumsy oaf. Merlin tried to raise himself into a sitting position, but Arthur pushed him down again. I don't think it was me who left that ruddy great bag lying there. Arthur had the grace to look guilty, and then scurried over on his hands and knees, and Merlin couldn't not appreciate the irony and the view to untangle his feet from the straps of that ruddy bag. And then he moved. Exquisite pain flushed down his body, starting from the epicenter of his right arm. This was bad news. Bad news with a broken arm, that was. Arthur, grimacing as he did so, reached under Merlin's armpits and hauled him to his feet. Come on, you. Hospital. Merlin's face then was comical. Ever since he'd been a little boy, Merlin had hated hospitals. One of those irrational fears, like spiders and putting your left shoe on before the right one. Arthur never knew how Merlin had found out that particular quirk of his. Aelder Block might not be the most respectable area of Camelot. However, it wasn't the worst place to live, and the car park was rarely, if ever, burglared, which was lucky, considering that Arthur left his car there, and Arthur in a bad mood was a force to be reckoned with. Arthur in a bad mood with a cracking good lawyer. Morgana had many talents. President of the Peace, amateur actress, private lawyer. Arthur buckled Merlin into the car. I'm not a child, Arthur. But Merlin knew that he couldn't have reached over and buckled himself in and didn't complain again. They drove in silence. Not the uncomfortable type, more the silence that in films and sci-fi books meant that the protagonists were reading each other's minds and sharing secrets, both political and sexual. But Arthur and Merlin were, frankly, perfectly normal. They pulled up outside the Royal Guard and General, and Arthur waved Merlin in, kissing him on the forehead before sitting back in the driving seat. I'll come and find you. I need to park and... Yeah. Merlin looked back and smiled at him. Slightly, shyly, and with eyes downcast, he walked into the A&E. Arthur sighed and closed his eyes. Reaching into the glove compartment, he grabbed his phone and scrolled through his contacts until he reached M.O. He pressed dial. Arthur, you absolute git. Where is Merlin? The performance has started, and why are you ringing me? You know that it's a first-night performance. What are you doing? Arthur sighed again. Which of those questions do you want me to answer first? Arthur? What's wrong? Arthur straightened up, and he heard Morgana move through the phone. Merlin's in the hospital. We think he's broken his arm, so I'm afraid he won't be attending the performance.
Well, what are you doing sitting in the car park? Go and be with him.
Arthur bit his lip. He's with the doctors, I'm assuming.
Arthur? Why are you so guilty?
He tripped over my fencing bag, all right? Because I was rushing him.
Morgana laughed humorously.
Oh, he'll already have forgiven you. Off you go now. I'm on stage now. I'm coming! And the phone cut off. Arthur slammed the door of the car with a little more force than normal and hurried into the A&E entrance.
Merlin Emrys. Came in about 5 minutes ago. Broken arm?
The woman on the desk pointed lazily down the corridor. Down there, second on the right, labeled waiting room. Wait there. Arthur refrained from telling her that he wasn't actually Merlin and followed her directions. Merlin was sitting in the waiting room, surrounded by children with bleeding noses and old men who were hunched over themselves. Arthur slipped into the seat next to Merlin.
How are you coping?
Merlin sighed and leaned into Arthur's shoulder. As good as. I'm so annoyed that I'm missing the performance, though. I was really looking forward to it. Arthur smiled and pressed his lips to Merlin's temple. The kids with the bloody noses giggled, and the old men didn't notice. Rocking in their chairs, they appeared to be asleep.
Mr. Emrys!
Arthur smiled up, and Merlin gave him a slight push upwards. I'll wait here.
Make sure you do.
Arthur interlinked his fingers and placed them behind his head, the age-old symbol of making yourself comfortable. Merlin rolled his eyes.
The end.
Watching TV. Written by Phantom Reviewer and read by Eos Rose.
Arthur, I don't believe you.
Arthur shrugged and threw himself onto the sofa next to Merlin.
I was watching that, you prat.
Arthur attempted to reach down to the buttons that he had knocked from Merlin's hand, but failed, ending up sprawled over Merlin's lap. The TV screen buzzed with static for a few moments until, in the cold winter of that year, the most terrible... Merlin actually appeared to perk up and stared at the screen. Merlin, the history of Stalin's Russia does not count as interesting viewing.
Shh!
Well, there was only one thing that Arthur could do to that, ignoring the fact that he was tired and bruised and sweaty from practice. He reached up from his position, of relative comfort, on Merlin's lap and pinched his waist. Merlin did an impressive leap that Arthur could have called a balestra had it been on the piste and giggled like Gwen.
Arthur, get off of me!
And Merlin giggled again and shoved Arthur in the chest. Arthur gave up his current position of attack and grabbed Merlin by the hips and twisted him. Arthur ended up straddling him on the small sofa, pinning his arms above the arm of the sofa.
You're mine, Merlin.
Merlin smiled up at him. I know. And then the fighting began again.
However, through great personal loss and strife, Russia prevailed.
The end. At a Performance. Written by Phantom Reviewer and read by Eos Rose.
Ding dong. Hello, Morgana.
Morgana glared at him, reaching one hand up into her outfit to move feather from her face.
Shut up, Arthur. Can't you see we're busy?
And he could. The backstage of the theater was full of life, with feathered and furred actors rushing around. Amateur version of The Lion King.
Morgana was Zazu. Or whatever.
Arthur had a copy of the program. He'd stolen it off Merlin. It was the first time that Merlin's name was credited in light and sounds.
Pardon me for speaking, sis.
She hated being called sis. Well, she hated Arthur calling her sis. She positively encouraged Merlin to call her sis. Favoritism. A couple of water buffalo turned towards the rowing couple. He's not related to me. His father adopted me. That oaf is of no blood relation. A woman with white paint etched along her dark skin looked at them. Arthur Pendragon? He nodded, but Morgana shooed the woman onwards. Arthur, Morgana, stop fighting. It was Gaius, glasses down his nose and a clipboard in his hand. They fell silent as the music started to play. Fine, Arthur whispered. Morgana, on stage. All of their speech was a degree above silent, and Morgana left. Gaius? The strains of the circle of life flitted to the wings. Arthur, here for Merlin? Arthur nodded. Just thought I'd drop in. Been a busy week, just flown back from Glasgow. Gaius smiled. He treated Merlin like his prodigy child and was rather protective of him. He's on the desk. Arthur nodded at him and then wheeled around to approach the lighting desk. What happens if I press this one? He settled himself down into the spare seat. Gaius's. No, you don't touch that if you value your... Arthur! Merlin spun around. He had the spinny chair and stared goggle-eyed at Arthur. Miss me? He was meant to be home in a couple of days' time, after all. Well... Arthur elbowed him gently. Shut up. Don't you have a show to light? Merlin turned back to the desk in a flurry, pressing buttons and flicking switches. Shh, and I'll let you watch. Arthur smiled and watched Merlin work. Oh, yeah. And Morgana's stupid outfit. The end. Target Area. Written by Phantom Reviewer and read by Eos Rose. There was a rhythmic tapping on the wall when Merlin let himself into the flat. Roughly every 2 seconds, there was a soft wallop followed by noises that sounded like grunts. Arthur. Merlin rolled his eyes and pulled off his coat, hanging it up on the coat stand. Honey, I'm home, he snarked. There was no reply other than this annoyingly repetitive thumping. Rolling his eyes, Merlin followed the sound and saw Arthur one hand above his head in traditional fencing stance and the other wrapped around his foil, standing and lunging at the wall. Merlin's smile froze on his face when he saw which hand was clasped to the grip. The hand that was wrapped in pale bandages. Arthur, stop it! He'd been told that he wouldn't fence for months, and that would be using his right hand, his undamaged hand, simply because that would limit the stability and mobility of his actions, and he would be at more risk. They had said that, outright, and he would not be allowed to fence using his left hand. Ever, for at least 9 months. It had been 3. Merlin stepped forward. Arthur, stop it. You're not allowed to fence. The doctors said... Merlin could hear the snarl in Arthur's voice when he replied. Shut up, Merlin. I don't care. Just leave me alone. Merlin coughed, opening his mouth, and looked at Arthur. I'm sorry? You know better than professional doctors? Arthur spat. Arthur, we're not at your ruddy club now. You can't spit in our home. Arthur wasn't wearing a helmet or any protective clothing at all. What do they know about fencing? I know that I'm fit to play. I need to train. Merlin rolled his eyes and stepped closer to Arthur angrily. You're hardly going to forget how to wield that bloody sword, are you? You've spent enough of your life doing it anyway. Just put it down. Merlin was so angry that he felt tears prickling at the corners of his eyes. Put that sword down now, Arthur. But Merlin was standing too closely to Arthur, and when Arthur wheeled around, arms still outstretched, there was a thwack as Arthur's foil collided with Merlin's face. Merlin flinched backwards from the pain of impact and threw his hands up to his face. The tears of anger that had been irritating his eyes fell as tears of pain. Neither man spoke to the other, and Merlin just stared at Arthur and his foil. He could feel the blood welling up where the foil had struck his face. From the tip of his ear, cutting a crisp straight line across his right cheek, the first touch of blood flitting along his cheekbone, and eventually ending at his mouth, both lips having been split by the impact of the sword. Merlin turned, hypocritically spitting blood out on the carpet before leaving without a word. Arthur stood frozen until the door slammed shut. He dropped his foil and brought his hands to his mouth. Shit. His speech was muffled through his fingers. Oh, God. It took him all of 3 minutes to throw on his jacket and grab Merlin's hideous misshapen rain mac. Because it was set to rain and Merlin had run out with only just a light jacket on, there was blood on the handle of the door. Arthur sighed and gritted his teeth. He raced down the steps, those bloody lifts were still broken, and almost ran headlong into Pete, long-suffering postman, to the block. "Your young man just ran this way, too. Is something wrong?" Arthur staggered to a stop. "Did he? What did he say? How did he look?" Pete sighed and leaned against the nearest door. Number 13. "Well, now that you mention it, he didn't stop when I offered him your post. Here," Arthur took the outstretched bundle of bills and packages, "and he had this odd mark down his face, like he'd been sliced. You wouldn't know anything about that, would you?" Arthur's face fell, and Pete wisely kept quiet. "Sorry." Pete's voice was light, and he nodded at him. Arthur almost flew down the stairs, hands full of pointless mail. In the day's final act of pathetic fallacy, as soon as Arthur had made it out of the Aelder block, the rain began to fall, hitting Arthur, and presumably Merlin, with great wet tears. Arthur made a grab for his phone before realizing that he didn't have enough hands with both post and Merlin's Mac. In the end, he tucked Merlin's Mac under his chin, breathing deeply into the collar, before shoving the letters into his overly large pockets. There was a dull dialing tone before Lance's number started to ring. "Arthur, mate, what is it?" Arthur frowned. "Is Merlin with you?" Arthur could hear the spluttering noise from Lance's end of the phone. "No? Why would he be? Have you two had a fight?" Arthur snorted humorously. "You could say that." And Arthur explained what had happened. "Oh." There was a long pause between Arthur's finishing his story and Lance's final reaction. "I'll call you if I see him. And Gwen's coming over later, so I'll let you know if she knows anything." "Thanks, Lance." And Arthur hung up, feeling as if the weight of the world was pushing down on his shoulders and clinging to his injured hand. Merlin had been right, of course. And so Arthur set off into the rainy afternoon of Camelot. And Merlin wasn't anywhere. He wasn't at the quarters, even though Arthur knew that he spent time there when depressed. He wasn't at the coffee shop, nor was he at Huneth's home, and Arthur had felt like shite when it came to explaining why he was looking for Merlin. Huneth, thanks to some unknown and blessed motherly instinct, she'd bitten off his head and got angry at him for all of 20 minutes before gathering him up in her arms and hushed him as he cried. "You find my son, Arthur, and you apologize." Arthur felt worse than he had done before, but oddly trusted and humbled. Arthur was soaked to the skin by the time he'd arrived outside Will's student flat. He stood out there for roughly half an hour before turning back, because Arthur knew what the look on Will's face would be when he told him what had happened. Will would never forgive him. he ended up outside Morgana's home. Knocking on the door, Arthur felt like a drowned puppy until Morgana opened the door and dragged him inside. What happened? And for the third time, Arthur repeated his story. Morgana slapped him when he was finished. You idiot, Arthur. What were you thinking, practicing like that? Bad environment, never draw swords when people are unmasked. Arthur felt about 7. That was the last time he'd ever accidentally hurt someone, and it had been Morgana. He hadn't done it again, except to Merlin. He was dripping like a broken shower by the time Morgana had kicked him out of her house. You have an apology to make, and Merlin's braver than you, so he'll forgive you, even if you don't forgive yourself. Now you get out. And so Arthur dripped his way up to their shared flat and dejectedly pushed open the front door. That should have been his first warning. Merlin was standing on the other side of the door, back to Arthur, looking decidedly dry. And then Merlin turned, angry red welt across his face, branding him. They stood facing each other. Merlin was holding Arthur's fallen foil, and after a few moments walked forward towards Arthur and reached down, dragging the fencing bag from its place by the door and putting the foil inside. I'm sorry. I really am. Merlin straightened up, turning to face Arthur properly, that terrible gash almost shining in the light from overhead. Arthur reached out his hand, leaving it hovering millimeters above the wound on Merlin's face. He dropped his hand away. Merlin sighed and grabbed Arthur's fallen hand. I know. I know. Arthur frowned at their interlocked fingers and then at the mark on Merlin's face. I understand if you want to leave. It was Merlin's turn to frown. Why would I want to leave? Merlin squeezed Arthur's fingers and looked him straight in the face. Why should I leave? I love you. Arthur frowned and unlocked their fingers slowly. I was terrible to you. Merlin shrugged gently. Arthur guided his fingers up to the welt across Merlin's face and touched it lightly. But Merlin flinched, and Arthur dropped his hand as if he'd been burnt. He tried to push past Merlin, but Merlin, using a strength and speed that most didn't expect of him, raised both hands to the door, automatically locking it and enclosing Arthur in the prison of his arms. You're not going anywhere, Arthur. Look. And Arthur's voice broke. I'm sorry. I never intended to hit you. I'm so sorry. And I was just so angry that I couldn't fight and that I... Merlin placed one finger against Arthur's lips. Stop. And Arthur did so. Come with me. Merlin reached his hand down from Arthur's lips to his hand and dragged him bodily into the bathroom. Sitting him down on the edge of the bath, Merlin reached up and grabbed a tube of cream. There, salve, good for cuts and bruises. Try and rub that in gently. Arthur gulped and took the tube with shaking hands. He pulled Merlin into the fit between his legs, allowing his knees to settle at Merlin's hips. With his hands still shaking, Arthur opened the tube of salve and ever so gently touched Merlin's face. I'm sorry. Merlin grinned painfully. If you say that one more time, I'll hit you. Arthur smiled in return, although it didn't reach his eyes. I love you, Merlin. Merlin leaned down and rested his forehead against Arthur's, Arthur's fingers still tracing the mark up and down his cheek. I know, and I love you too, you oaf. They kissed slowly and chastely. Apology accepted. The end.